Cape Talk. Cape Talk. A world view from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Good morning, Adam Gilchrist. We're talking about outstanding library books because the city of Cape Town has now said we want our 40,000 items to return, to be returned. And so they're saying if you bring it back next week, no questions asked, no fines whatsoever. Just leave it at the door.
A book amnesty. Nice. Yeah, that makes sense.
Do you have any outstanding library books, or you just buy your own books? Do you have any outstanding items there?
Just between you and I, obviously. I do have a couple from school that were meant to go back. So we're talking 40 years. Hang on, a long, long time. But do you know what? I think my school, which is, you know, quite expensive in its day, I think they can probably afford to be missing a couple of books. And frankly, one of them is a German textbook. So I really don't think anyone's missing that one.
Are you a public school lad, eh? Of course, Adam Gilchrist is a public school lad, eh? Of course.
Yeah, not my choice, my parents' choice, but yes, I am.
Oh, no, I won't hold it against you. But first up.
Thank you.
Time is up.
You do.
Time is up. Oh boy. I won't hold it against you. Oh, boy. Time is up for TikTok. The UK is now banning the app for unofficial use. It follows Belgium, that says they're not allowing their government officials to download and use the app TikTok on their phones. The US wants to do it. Many other EU countries. And this is all about security and spy concerns, because who owns TikTok? Well, the Chinese.
Exactly that. So British government has joined in with, as you say, those countries, US, Canada, India, I think is another one. Whereby government ministers and government official phones should not have TikTok downloaded as an app. And of course, many see it as a way of reaching a part of the population that otherwise might not be reached. And when it comes to politicians, they're trying to reach out, well, some are anyway, and get to those people who aren't going to sit down and watch a discussion program on a serious TV channel or whatever. So TikTok is one of those, from a political point of view, it's a very handy thing. But the deal is that TikTok, being Chinese owned, therefore a Chinese company, Chinese companies have to demonstrate loyalty to the Chinese state. And although it's not said, and it may not actually have happened, but the thought is that because TikTok is an especially sharp social media site at gathering data and putting those cookies out that therefore tell other things about you and sharing that stuff around, info on you, that because it's so good at that, therefore what it could do is ultimately alert the Chinese state to all sorts of things. So the government here said, no, not for phones of government ministers, except any number of MPs and indeed a couple of ministers, including, I think it's Oliver Dowden, said, one of the cabinet ministers here, said that they would continue to use TikTok on their own personal phones. At which point I'm thinking, what's the difference? Yeah. And if there really is a danger of oversharing this data, why is it good enough for government phones but not others? The British Army, for instance, does a lot of recruiting through TikTok and puts its messages out through TikTok, again, to reach a potential audience. And I sort of think that, well, there's also an element, if TikTok is gathering all this data and being very sharp on us, and now it's banned, isn't that precisely what Apple, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, and many, many more are doing to us?
That's right. Just scroll. I do have a TikTok account, simply just to see what the cool kids are doing. I don't post any of the dances or any other things. But I see there is an official 10 Downing Street account. Last updated on the 29th of July 2022, when Boris Johnson was still UK Prime Minister. How many Prime Ministers have you had since then?
Yeah. Three Prime Ministers later, or no, two later. But yeah, exactly that. I suspect that Rishi Sunak is not quite of that generation, or also maybe he's just actually, for once, listening to his own advice. Mm.
And then a Dutch political shock, an election surprise that was born out of a farmer protest. Out of a farmer protest comes a farmer protest political party.
most political parties have these very interesting roots, don't they, when they go back, and it's about people just gathering together. And in this case, on farms in the Netherlands, unhappy at the Prime Minister Mark Rutte's idea of slashing nitrogen emissions by reducing livestock numbers and buying out farms. And a lot of farmers thought, hang on a moment, you're putting us out of a livelihood here in order to hit your greenhouse gas emission targets, which, you know, we understand about the targets, but surely there are other ways than just picking on the farmers. So the Farmers' Citizen Movement, or in Dutch, it's the BBB, they set up just 4 years ago. And now in the Dutch election, they won't be an overall party winner, but they absolutely will have their hands on the reins of power. 15 seats in the Senate is what it's looking like, with nearly all the counting done. So in a very short time, they've also, of course, moved from farming to represent more traditional conservative Dutch values. I mean, they are a little bit anti-EU. They're a little bit anti-Burka. They're pro-country, clogs, beer and a sing-song. Mm. But they are, shall we say, part of this right-wing movement across Europe that we're seeing. But as they say in Dutch, als er een schaap over de dam is, volgen er meer. If one sheep crosses the dam, others will follow. And indeed, that probably should have been their slogan, yeah. With a better accent, of course.
My dad studied Netherlands at university, and I haven't picked up any of it, thankfully, even though I speak in Afrikaans that derives from the Dutch language. But yeah, it's really interesting. Farmers in the Netherlands, you have truckers in Canada, largely born out of the post-COVID lockdown era. It's very, very interesting what's happening in global politics, and it's all sort of interconnected, whether it be a protesting farmer in the Netherlands, whether it be a trucker in Canada. I'm seeing some mobilization also in some South African groupings with the same tone, sentiment, and even talking points here in South Africa as well.
Yeah, interesting idea, isn't it? And again, it's a sort of grassroots feelings and frustrations that people share globally, which is why we were talking only yesterday, maybe we should start the anti-inflation party. I have no idea what our policy would be, but it sounds good, doesn't it? We're going to tackle inflation and put more money in your pocket. I think that's a winner. We don't actually have to decide on any policies. We just have to come up with that and then have a hoedown in a barn.
Adam Gilchrist, really appreciate your time. Enjoy your weekend. Stay well and return those library books, old boy.
Well, yeah. Do I have to?
Okay. Oh, no, you don't. Adam Gilchrist is back with us on Monday. Stay well. Have a good weekend.